This is Essence of God Space Radio, and welcome. You're speaking to Nirvana Nokwemseleku. All respects to my ancestors, for I am their wildest dreams, their greatest decisions, and greatest mistakes combined. Skananda Masugu Mselegu Zuma. Love and light. So we watched the video, the second episode of Subtext, which for many people was triggering in the sense that they could tap into the parts of themselves that were very easy to overlook. The brain does this thing where when there's a pain, it's actually the Scorpio mentality. In one of Amber Khan's readings in Scorpio season, she mentioned, she read this article about how one death is just too much to handle, that the comprehension of a million deaths would just, in essence, kill you, because the gravitas of pain of one death is too much for the brain, the emotional body, and the physical body to handle, that your brain begins to protect itself almost in a desensitized fashion to preserve you. And yeah, what Stalin said, a one person dying is a death, a million, it's a statistic. So when we watched the second episode of Subtext, titled I Need You to Believe Me, a lot of this episode is going to be references of what Amber Khan has said, because this week's episode of Subtext was inspired by her podcast on R. Kelly neglect and Instagram, which largely spoke on rape culture and the abuses of young girls and young boys being normalized and having hypermasculinity be the expression of deep-rooted trauma in many respects, and neglect. So that episode was a truth, a very common truth, where a lot of us have experienced. And also it was inspired by what happened with Unomza Mumbata, where someone on Twitter had confronted her with regards to having taken a picture with Arthur, who's had a very abusive history with women, him being the abuser. And well, I can't necessarily confirm. I just read through some links, some tweets, and all that stuff. And I absolutely do not condone that sort of behavior. And because of the closeness of, so the person I am, because of the person that I am, and something very interesting, because of the person that I am and how I know someone who's very close to me who knows him, and they happen to be very close, the tonality of how I might speak about him changes, which is very interesting. Regarding the social sentiments of abuse, because I know someone who happens to know him, and he's close enough to call me, or close enough for it to be uncomfortable should something like this go viral and he were to see it, it would be quite an uncomfortable situation of a very sublime confrontation, I guess. But the episode speaks to that as well, where so many of us young girls and young boys, very little young boys, I think, there has been I don't want to say a complete neglect, but a slight neglect of how vulnerable little boys are too. When we happen to be at family functions, family occasions, or as grand as an event as Unomza Mumbata was attending, which was the ANC manifesto meeting in KZN, it gets very tricky being able to express and be the activist that you know yourself to be, because the default that we've all been taught is that it is disrespectful to deny, in essence. It is disrespectful to say no. And we should, going forward, as this generation, including the generation of my parents and of my grandparents, if they're still alive, we should begin to, I mean, this is going to continue with us because we hold the torch, should continue to teach our children that it is okay to say no. It is as valid as yes. It is as okay as it is to say no as it is to say yes. And no, the word no scares a lot of people. It, I've seen the look on many men's faces that we've titled family friends when I would say something like no. It almost looks like they go into a self-questioning of their very existence. And when my submissiveness or lack of submissiveness became the barometer of how much power you have and thus how valid you are, I don't know when those interconnectivities happened. Okay, so backtrack. We watched the episode and we felt something. We felt something very strong, compassion. And much like in Amber Khan's definition of meditation and traveling, when you leave to go to a different country or a different space, you come back and the world around you, it's almost as though nothing can touch you. The cars beeping, it's like you're in your own bubble, because you've left and come back and nothing's changed except your perspective, how you see the world, because you have been exposed to the beach or a very serene place where there's no cars beeping, buzzing, hooting. It may have happened to be a space of very clean air because there's lots of trees and greenery. You came back in that same state of experiencing that holiday, and you came back in your bubble, and you stay in your bubble for a while. Much like in meditation, I give complete credit to Amber Khan for this amazing definition. Much like in meditation, you leave the matrix, you leave your reality, and then come back to it with a different perspective. this idea of what is your reality is shifted. It's more pleasant because your perspective is more pleasant. Now, television, film, any form of visual platform, anything, even sonically, anything that can take you out of your current... This is making me think of nothing is real. Nothing is really real. But like anything that's able to take you out of your matrix, your zone, your usual pattern is a form of traveling. You turn on the TV and you watch whatever TV show it is, and whatever was going on in that TV show becomes or influences your perspective. And how, and thus you create a bubble. Now imagine a million bubbles of the same perspective. And everyone steps into, travels and steps into this vortex and comes out with this bubble renewed each and every day, because escapism is a daily thing. And you walk in the world with this perspective of the world. Am I making sense? The very impulses people have to watch porn are the same impulses that can, let me think about this, the same impulses, I believe for now, I think, the same impulses that can help, in essence, save the world or stop femicides or the objectification of women, young girls, and little boys. Because when you watch something, you travel. Much like you did when you watched the episode, you traveled and you felt the character's pain. You felt my pain. You asked me, what is this? You felt sad. You felt my sadness from my perspective. Thus, your perspective of the world or of me shifted. Now, if we look at things like porn, I'm going to make an example, which is a very objectifying mechanism. What happens with someone who consistently watches that as a route of escapism, to travel, to gain some form of pleasure for the moment, to escape themselves or their reality or this pain prison of one of their traumas from their childhood that they cannot escape. And the only way to escape is through this almost instant form of pleasure. Do you see where I'm going? How interconnected rape culture and industries that are involved in the objectification of women are, and our visual platforms. You travel much like how you travel when you meditate, much like how you travel when you go to a different country or when you go to work. Your perspective is constantly shifting. If your perspective of your perspective can simply shift like that by means of travel through the mediums of merely looking objectively in some way or engaging objectively in some way, you have the ability to be extremely compassionate. Is this making sense? Compassion, the interconnectivity of compassion and traveling are so obvious to me, because when you watched that video, you traveled. You left and you engaged in the emotion and the reality of that character. And thus, when you came out, when the video stopped, you had a different perspective. A completely different perspective. Of the world, of how maybe your approach has been, of how you may have been a catalyst to these things, or how you can now express your words, and now you begin to understand yourself a little deeper, or understand the mechanisms that operate in this world and make the world what it is right now. We all have to be active in the system of oppression for it to be active. Because systems of oppression require archetypes, right? The archetype of one superior and one inferior and everything else in the middle trying to run away or go into a certain extreme. But what happens when we leave and travel, and maybe travel into someone else's experience, or maybe travel out, like completely disengage from the script and stop saying the lines, and maybe being the person behind the camera and just watching. What happens when that happens? Levels and levels and levels of compassion and understanding. And nothing changes but your perspective, but do you realize how your perspective then can change everything? How your perspective, the bubble you create for yourself, or what you allow your bubble to be created by, can change everything. Perspectives require you to engage, but what happens when you engage objectively? And you see yourself on the other side, or on the other side. I'm gonna close with the reading from the I Ching, which is a guide to life's turning points. It's ancient Chinese knowledge. An oracle in the form of a book. So, how accurate is this? Work on what has been spoiled, decay. A challenge to improvement. That which has been spoiled through neglect can be rejuvenated through effort. This hexagram is a sign that there is a defect in the attitude of oneself, another, or one society that should be corrected. Your task now is to bring conscientious thought and action to an arena where stagnation has set in. Perhaps you engage in continual doubt of the wisdom of behaving according to proper principles. Perhaps you indulge in greed or vengeful thinking or a harsh manner. In any case, the time has come to root it out. The time has come to root out the decay. The I Ching counsels us to work energetically at this task, but only after proper deliberation. We are advised to spend 3 full days in understanding the defect, another day in resolving it sincerely to remove it, and then 3 more days watching carefully to ensure that it does not return. This application of attention to the matter is the wind that carries away stagnation and brings new life in its place. It is likely that the problem is an old one, and equally likely that no solution will be immediately evident. We are cautioned not to abandon the cause. Only perseverance will reveal the great reward that is concealed within the problem. Whether the fault lies in yourself, in another, or in your community, the requirement is the same. Watch closely while remaining quiet, innocent, and sincere. After you have clearly identified the problem, act unswervingly to eliminate it, without abandoning gentleness and inner balance in the process. When this course is completed, good fortune will be met. This is Essence of God Space Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope we can continue this contemplation and conversation on the socials. Love and light. Bye-bye.
This is Essence of God Space Radio. This is Essence of God Space Radio.